All right, we'll call the meeting of the Senate Transportation Committee to order. Let the record reflect it is 1:36 p.m. Tuesday, March 1st. Present today, Vice Chair Schauer, Senator Keel, and of course myself, Chair Myers. That gives us a quorum to conduct business. Staff in the committee today, as always, we have Nancy Hemingway from Senate Records. Talia is joining us for our moderator again. And Michaela Anderson is back as my committee aide, trying to keep me on the straight and narrow. Quick reminder, of course, please silence your cell phones if you have them. Today we're going to be hearing SB 218, Legislative Approval for Alaska Railroad Revenue Bonds. This is our first time hearing the bill. We'll be hearing the bill and taking public testimony today. And with that, I'd like to welcome Madison Govan and Conrad Jackson to the table to present the bill and respond to any questions from the committee.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, Conrad Jackson, staff to Senator Michiki.
And for the record, Madison Govan, staff to Senate President Michiki.
First, Mr. Chairman, I want to extend the President's apologies. He is not able to be here today, so you're stuck with me, sir.
We'll manage.
Okay, I knew you would. The bill before you, Senate Bill 218, is legislation that we see come through the building every so often, and this bill in particular grants authority to the Alaska Railroad Corporation under AS 4240-250 for the issuance of revenue bonds for the replacement of a critical piece of the railroad infrastructure, which is specifically the passenger dock and terminal facility in the city of Seward, very critical to their operations, frankly, also those of the cruise ships in that neck of the woods. Mr. Chairman, I'm going to be brief and end my statement there. Madison Govan is here to speak to a little more of the bill. We also have folks online from the railroad, or should be online, and they are the experts on what they need and how this process will function as we go forward. Thank you, sir.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Again, for the record, Madison Govan, staff to Senator Michiki. The current passenger terminal was constructed in 1966 and has experienced significant corrosion over the years. About 82 cruise ships are expected for the 2022 season, with more growth expected in the future. The total anticipated cost for this project is $79 million. The estimate was put together within the last 2 months. ARRC is using other funds to combine with the $60 million bond that they are requesting to make this project possible. $60 million is the most that the ARRC's lender will allow them to borrow for this project. The debt service on these bonds will be paid entirely from passenger terminal revenues without the state of Alaska being liable for any debts accrued by the ARRC. In order to meet the 2024 need for replacement of the facility, it is imperative that ARRC coordinate public debt funding by mid-2022. I appreciate your consideration of this bill, and we will stand by for any questions. We also have a few representatives from the Alaska Railroad Corporation on the line. Bill O'Leary, the CEO, Barbara Amy, the CFO, and Tim Sullivan, the Director of External Affairs. We also have the City Manager from Seward, Jeanette Bauer, and Preston Carnahan from Royal Caribbean. Thank you for your time.
All right. Thank you. We'll go ahead and go over to Mr. O'Leary then, with the Alaska Railroad. If you could place yourself on the record, give us your name, your affiliation, and your location, and proceed with your testimony.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Bill O'Leary. I'm the President and Chief Executive Officer of the Alaska Railroad Corporation, and I'm in Anchorage at this point. And as Madison also brought up, pleased to tell you that Barbara Amy, our Chief Financial Officer, and Tim Sullivan, our Director of External Affairs, also available if necessary here. I apologize for not being able to attend in person, but really I'm happy to be calling in today to talk about this exciting project. And it really is exciting not only for the Alaska Railroad and for the city of Seward, but also for the entire South Central and interior visitor industry. I think the committee is pretty familiar with the railroad. I won't go through the usual railroad overview that we do, but direct you, if I could, to the handout or the PowerPoint that I believe we sent down here, and start with slide one. I think everyone is pretty aware that railroading is a very capital-intensive exercise, and so it is you know, we have a lot of equipment and infrastructure in place. So as well as over, you know, 50 locomotives, 50 passenger cars, hundreds and hundreds of freight cars, and 600 miles of track, the Alaska Railroad is also very much in the dock business. And nor is that more evident than in Seward, where we actually have three docks in our most southern Alaskan terminus. We have a freight dock, which is actually, as we speak, is we have a project underway that for expansion as we lengthen that to address growing freight opportunities for the region. It's a terrific project, but again, not the topic for the day. We have a coal dock, which is not currently in use, as the export coal market has been dormant for a number of years. And we have a passenger dock. And the passenger dock was built in 1966 as a freight dock. It's a pile-supported pier dock with a concrete decking on it. And on the north end of that dock is a 26,000-foot or nearly 27,000-foot or square-foot terminal building used for passenger processing of cruise lines when they come in or depart. It's served us extraordinarily well. It's been very well used, but the corrosion and time have taken its toll, and it's nearing the end of its useful life. Still safe to operate on, certainly, but as we like to refer to it at the railroad, is really headed towards hospice care at this point. That said, it is a key piece of infrastructure, not only for the railroad and but also very much for the South Central and Interior visitor industry. The majority of cruise passengers that arrived in South Central in 2019, the last year that we of course had cruise passengers in South Central, cruise ships coming to South Central Alaska in 2019, the majority of those arrived at this dock, nearly 250,000. And these are passengers that, yes, ride the railroad, rent cars, take motor coaches, or fly to locations all along the Kenai Peninsula and the rail belt from Seward to Fairbanks and beyond. And this is not something that we're expecting this demand to drop, quite the opposite, actually. We've got, as the cruise industry finds its footing again, gets back on its feet, we're forecasting at this point over 80 ship calls in 2022 and really continued opportunities for more growth as cruise lines look to cross-Gulf activities. Instead of just staying in Southeast Alaska. So slide two, we have a project, and the railroad has embarked on this project to rebuild the pier and the building, modernizing both to meet current and future demand. Our plan is to build a new longer dock, about 1,200 foot dock, and a new building. And in conjunction with what we call really our overflow capacity at the freight dock on its completion, you know, we'll really provide three berths available, and certainly we believe should be able to meet customers' needs, certainly for the foreseeable future here. As mentioned earlier, we're on an aggressive timeline to meet our customer demands to handle larger ships. The desire is to have this new pier in place for the 2024 cruise season. $79 million project, $62 million of that relates to the pier, $17 million of it relates to the building, and two primary fund sources, $60 million in Alaska Railroad revenue bonds, which is the subject really of today's discussion, and $19 million in railroad internal funding, effectively cash from our capital program. And to be real clear, we are also continuing to look at ways to optimize the financial structure of this transaction. I mean, you know, we're still examining whether federal grants or any other sources that could really buy down the amount to be borrowed could be used if it fit into the project timing and schedule, which is kind of a long-winded way of saying the $60 million asked for in this authorization is a ceiling for us. If we find a better way, we will certainly issue less bonds out there. So according to the railroad statutes, enabling statutes, issuance of public debt or bonds requires legislative authorization in addition to our usual board of directors approval, which we've already received. And again, as previously mentioned, a really key point to stress, this debt, these bonds, by statute are not a debt to the state, nor is there any recourse to the state whatsoever. This is a railroad debt. We've been in front of this body a number of times requesting and receiving such authority. I think the last time was in 2015. Certainly not something we do every day, but it's something reserved for, you know, larger, more critical initiatives. And I think also, as mentioned earlier, it really is a time-sensitive approval requested, as the current plan is to be in the bond market by the third quarter of this year to meet the timing of the project demands. And since that is the case, this is the legislative session that would permit us to get that authorization and meet that timing and allow us then to welcome the larger ships in 2024. Final slide on this is just a kind of key piece of this puzzle, something I'd like to highlight briefly here. We have entered into a strategic partnership with one of our 20-plus year customers, Royal Caribbean Group, and I think you're going to hear from them a little later on here. But Royal is one of the world's largest cruise companies and a key partner for us in this endeavor, acting as an anchor tenant, and providing long-term berthing arrangements that will provide this fiscal stability to really effectively market these bonds. And we are absolutely delighted to be working with them on this. So in conclusion, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to present about a project we're quite excited about. It's important to the railroad. I mean, you know, our mission is we are to be an agent of economic development for this state, and we think this fits squarely within that mission. This is an important project, I think, to the city of Seward, and it's important to really to the entire Alaskan visitor industry. So with that, I'm certainly available for questions.
Senator Schauer.
Thanks, Mr. Chair, too. And you don't have to go too far into explanation just for time purposes here, but I have two for you. One's germane to this project. How do you intend to operate through the cruise season and also start tearing down the stock, working? In other words, I know you guys have a plan. I don't need real specific details. Just curious what that is to be able to function, depending on the amount of cruise traffic coming through while you're tearing one facility down. And the second question is, and I asked this before, but nobody was able to answer. We were briefed a few years ago that doing the projects and spending money, like on the coal ramp and others for freight, was that enough railroad cars did not exist for what we were attempting to do and spend the money on. In other words, we're spending a lot of money to do upgrades, but did not have the cars from the railroad. And since you seem to be a little more in the know, I would be curious if you could give me an answer on what that status is, because they said we didn't have enough, they're too hard to get, they're expensive, and a lot of upgrades wouldn't necessarily be a viable economic return for that. So if you could answer those two, please.
Certainly, through the chair, Senator Schauer. So with regard to plan to operate, yeah, that is something we are working through as we speak here. Our engineering staff has looked at a number of different scenarios as to how we are going to be able to operate during both the 2022 and 2023 seasons. And there is a plan. We would look at doing initial demolition of, portions of the dock immediately after the 2022 cruise season, and then would work have effectively half of the dock available during the 2023 season, perhaps using any time we would have what we call double ship days, more than one cruise vessel in port at the same time, using our freight dock as the overflow capacity on that during 2023, and then with everything going well, be available for the 2024 season to have the new facility in place. So there is a plan on that, and it's certainly something that our engineering staff would be better equipped to discuss in great detail than I would. With regard to car availability, if you're talking about specifically, I mean, it relates to actually either one, whether you're talking about passenger cars or freight cars at this point. The railroad is set up really to operate in most ways, many ways, very much like private enterprise or like business. So we have the capacity and the ability to source additional assets, additional resources, be it passenger cars or freight cars, if the demand is there and we can create a business case for it. Our board that we work quite well with is very cognizant of that, and that we have to remain self-sustaining per our statute, and therefore we can't have overcapacity available to us, but almost as bad as having undercapacity for customers out there. So as we continue to look at growth on the cruise side and working with our customers on this, we're actually engaged in discussions right now about whether or not we need additional assets to support what we believe is coming growth in this line of business. First order of business we're doing is making sure that we're optimizing our current assets at this point and basically using those most efficiently. But when we're comfortable with that, and if we do believe we need more, create the business case, get board approval, and move off to the races with it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. No more questions. Just a comment. This came from the GEO bond discussion. We were kind of operating on some projects like a build it and they will come. And that's why I wanted to validate that. If we're going to build things and upgrade and do fancy projects, I would like to know we have all of the capacity and the business model plus the product to actually move it. And there was a disconnect. So that's all. I'm trying to get that on the record. But thanks for the indulgence.
All right. Thank you, Senator Schauer. Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Question starting from the bottom up. As I understand it, the railroad owns the tidelands under the dock. How about the submerged lands off the end, and how far off will these vessels stand when they're docked at the new dock? Will they be strictly above your tidelands, or will they be out into municipal or state submerged lands?
Well, through the chair, Senator Keel, best of my knowledge, it would be on railroad owned tidelands out there. Now, that's something. Having said that, I would probably want to confirm that answer with staff that would know that for sure.
Mr. Chairman, just in follow-up, been through that ringer with a local project once, and if you got to get submerged lands from the state, you should start last year.
Thank you, Senator Keel. All right, I got just a couple of questions myself, Mr. O'Leary. Judging by the map that we were provided, am I correct in assuming that we are effectively demolishing the coal facility?
Mr. Chairman, no. At this particular point, we are not demolishing the coal facility for this project.
Okay, thank you. And then it sounds like we're going to have berthing space for two ships. That's the current case, and that will still be the case. Is that correct?
That is correct, sir.
Okay, thank you. And out of curiosity, what's the terminal used for in the tourist off season? You get cruise ships about 4 or 5 months a year. You got another 7-8 months to use the facility. What do you use it for?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman. So we use that at this particular point for parking for the most part, for overflow from the freight dock. In different times, we've had everything from Coast Guard cutters come in to, I believe we've had research vessels from the university remain there. Seward is actually growing quite a bit of maritime activity down there, both at railroad docks and over at the City of Seward SMIC facility. And so there's quite a bit of use, of off-season use, on the passenger dock.
Thank you. Just curious, because we're talking about it elsewhere. We're talking about another facility and how they use their docks when they don't have a ship attached. So just curious. Thank you. Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Before we move up above the waterline, the other next question I had on this, I have these memories of being up Mount Marathon on a sunny day and watching the silvers flicker in the water below, which is pretty cool. But I also recall seeing a ship come out of the dock there and leave quite the line of cloud of silt behind. What is the status of dredging, and what is the plan for future dredging? You've got quite the delta over to the I think west. East.
Senator, through the chair, Senator Teal, I believe the last dredging that was done has been probably within the last decade. I know our engineers are working with our customers at this particular point to make sure that there is sufficient that there isn't an additional need for dredging at this particular point to be able to move forward with this. Something certainly of concern as we look at larger ships coming into the new dock, but at this particular point that hasn't been raised as something that's needs to be done at this juncture with the as part of this project.
Senator Kiel?
Thank you. I guess Mr. O'Leary, the question really would be, what's the expected frequency, and is that going to be the railroad's responsibility, the city of Seward's responsibility, Army Corps? Who would do that, and how often?
Through the chair, Senator Kiel, a fine question that I'll have to get back to you on with regard to the to the frequency of it. As I mentioned, I think it's been 10 years or so. We can get the exact dates on that and what the frequency going forward is, as well as whose responsibility that is.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Mr. O'Leary. All right, seeing no other questions at the moment, we'll move on to, I believe, Barbara Amy. Ms. Amy, if you could put your name, your title, and your location on the record, and provide any testimony you have.
I'm Barbara Amy. I am the Chief Financial Officer of the Alaska Railroad Corporation in Anchorage, Alaska, and I am on the line just to answer questions.
Thank you, ma'am. I do have a couple questions for you. First one, I noticed that over the years, the railroad is, as was said earlier, the railroad has occasionally come to us for some bonding authority and such. We haven't, I've also noticed, though, that a good chunk of that bonding authority the railroad hasn't used over the years, and I'm curious as to why and then how that plays into your plans.
Through the chair, I think there are authorizations that are outstanding that we have not used, correct? Off the top of my head, I'm not familiar with each one. The last time we were at the legislature requesting authorization to issue bonds, as Mr. O'Leary stated, was 2015, and we were refunding bonds that were issued in 2006 and 2007, and we were also issuing additional bonds for our positive train control project, and we are scheduled to have those bonds completely repaid in the middle of next year. I'm not sure I can speak to why we haven't used the authorizations that have gone before that.
Okay, I might follow up with you off on that topic offline. The other question I had was on sort of just kind of a technical question. On page 2, line 4 of the bill, it says that the general credit of the Alaska Railroad Corporation, the state, may not be pledged for the repayment of the bonds. I understand that the state isn't pledging its credit, but I'm curious why it says that the general credit of the railroad is not being pledged.
Yeah, I think what we're intending to do here is to pursue more of a project financing, so the cash flows from the dock itself will be the repayment source, as opposed to train revenues and other revenues that come into the railroad.
All right, thank you. Any other questions? Senator Kiel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was just sort of doing some back of the napkin math, which is always dangerous, but with the Chief Financial Officer on the line, can you talk to us about what the railroad is contemplating in terms of the term of the debt and what expectations you have of interest rate?
Through the chair, Senator, certainly. We are contemplating a 30-year financing, and we are expecting an interest rate somewhere in the 3.75% to 4.25% range.
So I guess if memory serves, Mr. Chairman, I should have asked that differently. I shouldn't have asked the rate. What is that, the true interest cost you're talking about?
Through the chair, Senator, that is correct. That would be the true interest cost.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Senator Keel. Seeing no further questions, we'll move on to Tim Sullivan. Senator Shower, do you have a question for Ms. Amy?
Just very briefly. Obviously, we're seeing a spike. So when, just so I understand the timeline, Amy, when would this lock in? I mean, depending on passage and that kind of stuff, I mean, what kind of time frame are you looking for that? Because obviously things are changing dynamically and rapidly in the market. So is that something that you've been planning for where it's been low for some time? Or are you looking at when this might get locked in if it's not already? Because I don't know how the, what the terms are. So I'd just be curious to go, if they're not locked down, when would they be? And how can we assume that kind of a rate based on what we're seeing right now? So just a little further fidelity, please. Thank you.
Sure, through the chair. Senator, the expectation for the timing of the issuance is early to mid third quarter of this year. We do issue tax exempt. I don't know if I was clear about that. So our rates are a bit lower than a regular treasury rate or a corporate bond rate. We're just in the process of getting an underwriter on board, and we'll have more clarity as to things like rate locks and things like that as we go. We have built in some cushion into the rate picture given the current environment. So we think we'll have more clarity in the coming months before we can go to market.
All right. Thank you. Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I'm just looking at the presentation and the estimate of 220,000 visitors. COVID doesn't count, right? So just before and hopefully this summer as well. As you look at the finance plan, Ms. Amy, can you talk to us about what the assumptions are for passenger counts? Or vessel size. I don't know if you're planning to do this, collect these fees per head or by vessel tonnage.
Through the chair, Senator, the charge is per passenger. It is listed in our tariff that we publish on our website. So per passenger movement. So if a passenger gets on a cruise ship, there is a fee associated with that. If a passenger gets off the cruise ship and terminates their cruise in Seward, then the same fee applies. We are looking at, as Mr. O'Leary mentioned, we had over 200,000 passenger movements in 2019. We're expecting about 180,000 is what I'm expecting for 2022, and then some ups and downs, but generally growing in that range in our financial model.
Senator Keel.
So thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Amy, I don't have those tariffs in front of me. Can you tell us what they are and what you'd expect them to go to cover the debt service? I'm thinking we're looking at something like $15, $16 a head on the debt.
Through the chair, Senator, yes, the improvement fee that we've listed in our tariff, if you went to our website and you looked under, oddly enough, under the freight part of our website, you would find the tariffs under customer tools. And what you would see there for Seward's tariff is a $15 improvement fee that we've instituted beginning in 2022 to help pay for the dock project. And then there is also a service fee and facility fee per passenger, and those two add up to $12. So all told, it's $27 per passenger movement on and off the dock.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Those were the numbers I needed.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Keel. Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. what was her name again?
Barbara Amy.
Have you factored in a scenario? What I want to know is, can you cash flow this if nobody comes for a year?
Through the chair, Senator, I believe we could cash flow it for a period of time and give us the flexibility to restructure if we had to. But yes, I think we've got some safety net built into the projections.
Thank you.
Thank you. All righty. Seeing no further questions, next up I've got Tim Sullivan listed. Mr. Sullivan, are you here for questions or testimony?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, thank you. For the record, Tim Sullivan, Director of External Affairs for the Railroad. I'm online just to answer questions in the rare chance that Bill and Barbara can't answer them, and I actually have two answers for earlier questions. One was about the dredging that we do out there in Seward, and we do that about every 8 to 10 years, and the last time we did the dredging was 2014. We have a permit from the Corps of Engineers to do the dredging, and we do it ourselves. We will have to dredge a little bit deeper for the bigger ships, but it will still maintain that every 8 to 10 year schedule. And there was a further question on the submerged lands for as far as the dock will go out, and we do own all of those submerged lands for as far as that dock will go out.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you very much. Seeing no further questions at the moment, I'm going to take just a real brief at ease. All right, going back on the record here. Next up, I've got Janet Bauer. If you place your name and your affiliation and your location on the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Jeanette Bauer. I'm with the City of Seward, and I'm the city manager. And I thank you for allowing me to testify today. On January 24th, the Seward City Council adopted Resolution Number 2022-013, in support of the Alaska Railroad's efforts to secure funding for the Seward Passenger Dock Project. You've heard all of the information about the technical information about the dock project. And I just wanted to expand a little bit on how vital this project is to the City of Seward. Because of the closure of the current facilities, say that it could not be rebuilt for whatever reason and it was closed, it would have really eliminate our cruise ship tourism dollars, and which also includes the CPV dollars for both the city and the borough. So it is a very vital project to us. As you've heard, Royal Caribbean is committed to the Seward port, and they are a great partner here in Seward, and we enjoy having them here. There was a question regarding the use of the dock on when the cruise ships are not here. I did want to speak to the use of the building when the cruise ships are not here. It is a used building by many organizations here in Seward, and you might recognize one event that was held there, and that was the Lydia Jacoby watch party, and of course that went viral. So we thank the railroad for their partnership and allowing many uses within the community of that building.
All righty. Thank you, Ms. Bauer.
Thank you.
Seeing no questions, we'll move on to Preston Carnahan. Sir, if you could follow the drill, place yourself and your affiliation on the record and your location.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair. My name is Preston Carnahan from the Royal Caribbean Group. I'm the Director of Destination Development in Alaska, and I'm calling from Miami, Florida, while I'm based in Seattle, Washington. In Miami today. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Royal Caribbean Group is one of the largest cruise groups in the world, consisting of 60 ships with over five brands. We carry 7 million guests annually, and our Royal Caribbean International brand is the largest single brand. Within Alaska, which three of our brands call, Royal Caribbean International, Celebrity Cruises, and Silversea, We absolutely love Alaska, and so do our guests. And that's being shown as our company grows from 2019, the last full season when we had 6 ships to 10 ships this year in 2022. We as a corporation have been in Alaska since the 1990s. And as CEO O'Leary said, in Seward for over 20 years, we're absolutely thrilled with an opportunity to continue bringing our guests to Seward, to the community, where we have had a really great partnership through some of the individuals, the Alaska Sea Life Center. I would like to take a moment and recognize that, you know, throughout the last couple of years, when all of us in all of our respective industries and businesses have had a tough time, the railroad has done a tremendous job in staying in communication with us as a customer. We felt supported all the time. We've been in good communication, and we are very happy to support this endeavor. To provide some context, you know, related to this project, we as a company with, I said, 60 ships globally, regularly make berthing agreements and commitments where over a period of time, you know, we continue bringing passengers to a certain facility. Up until now, that has not been the case in Seward. We have had no agreement, and there haven't been agreements. And so, you know, for us, this is a tremendous opportunity to continue working with some great companies and people in Alaska. But I think it also is a significant step for the dock in Seward in that as we work through the terms of an agreement with the ultimate hope of reaching, you know, a long-term contract, that would be something that previously didn't exist. And I think that's a huge step forward for this. Again, when we look at Seward as the northern end of the port, the ports on the open jaw where the ships go to Vancouver, you know, the port in Seward also allows our brands to have additional calls in Southeast Alaska. So all of the ports of Juneau, Skagway, Ketchikan, Icy Strait Point, and Sitka receive additional ship traffic because Seward is a viable opportunity. We do have the benefit of having the largest ship in Alaska, the Ovation of the Seas, and part of our role as a strategic partner with the railroad is something that I've worked on for years with ports, and we do provide advice in terms of technical specifications to ensure that the facility being built meets, you know, our ship and our passenger standards. All of the conversations to date indicate that the railroad is absolutely doing a great job with their due diligence in ensuring that this new facility will meet all the specifications. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I stand by for any questions.
All right, thank you, Mr. Carnahan. Seeing no questions. All right, done pretty well. So we're going to go ahead and move on to public testimony. With that, I will open the public testimony on SB 218. Is there anyone in the room wishing to testify? Seeing none, we'll move online. I've got one right now, Mr. Tom Tugas. I'm sorry if I mispronounced that. If you could put your name, affiliation, and location on the record and proceed with your testimony.
Hello, I'm Tom Tugas, calling from Seward, and I just wanted to tell you that we in Seward support this project that the Alaska Railroad is working on, and you know, it is very important to our visitor infrastructure. But the other thing that I wanted to point out was that this dock is used year round. For example, right now there are 3 fuel barges that are tied to it, and those are barges that haul fuel out to Western Alaska. And Seward in the winter is a marine repair town. And so the ferry boats and the tugboats and the equipment that hauls fuel out of Western Alaska, they all bring their boats back here to Seward, and they're repaired during the off season. And then, obviously, during the summer, when the cruise ships are here, they're gone. But there's very little time that the dock does not have vessels tied to it on a year-round basis. And there is not enough space, even if the freight dock is expanded, to accommodate all of the vessels come back to Seward for marine repair. And I guess that was the primary thing in looking at this is I really want you to understand that this is a year-round dock, and it generates revenue for the Alaska Railroad. Having an anchor tenant in Royal Caribbean is fabulous, but having year-round employment in Seward is critical. This is a critical piece of infrastructure to have year-round employment in Seward. So thank you for your time, and we appreciate your support.
Thank you, sir. Seeing no one else online, I'll go ahead and close public testimony. Does anybody on the committee wish to offer an amendment for this bill? Seeing none. Senator Schauer.
I do, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 218, Work Order 32-LS15144/Bravo with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Seeing no objection, Senate Bill 218 moves through committee. We'll take a brief at ease to complete the paperwork. All right, we're back on the record. Seeing no other business before the committee, that'll conclude our meeting for today. Thank you to everybody who joined us for testimony today. Our next meeting will be Thursday, March 3rd. We'll be having our first hearing and most likely moving SB 203, the Purple Heart Trail. Amendments to that bill are due to my office tomorrow, March 2nd at noon, as previously noticed. With that, we are adjourned at 2:19 p.m. Thank you.